When Notre Dame Speaks Again, Reconstructing the Sound of a Sacred Space. Brian Cutts strongly emphasizes his social responsibility as a publicly funded researcher. Rather than leaving the highly complex findings of archaeoacoustics buried in academic publications, the cathedral's cultural heritage should be made freely and barrier-free accessible to everyone. Each format addresses a different audience. The film Vaulted Harmonies is aimed at a global music and cultural audience. It allows people who may never have the opportunity to visit Paris or Notre Dame in person to engage with cathedral's acoustic history.
This is the entrance to Rue du Cloître Notre Dame, the cloister of Notre Dame Street.
The app, Notre Dame Whispers, connects research directly to the physical site. It engages tourists and passersby during their visit and adds an otherwise invisible acoustic dimension to the experience of the cathedral.
Extending towards the wide arm of the Seine. During the Middle Ages, this territory was reserved for the clerics who performed services, the canons. As we were neighbors, the journeys between the cloister, where they taught, and my choir, where they held services, were much easier. Did you know that here, around the time of my construction, these canons developed a repertoire of chants that marked the history of music? Pieces with multiple voices, with independent and creative lines. It was called L'École Notre Dame, the School of Notre Dame. One of these polyphonic chants has left a lasting impression on me. Oh, you have to listen to it. My chevet is closed and my high altar consecrated.
It's a virtual concert film, and the idea was to look at how did music evolve and how did the architecture evolve over 8 centuries. We made virtual reconstructions of all of those states of the building, had musicians play and reinterject their music of the period that was relevant to the room. So we have an hour film that lets you kind of listen to both the music changing and the building changing in kind of a first person virtual reality film. And so I think that was really pushing the capabilities of acoustic simulations and oralizations and digital twins, plus kind of the interdisciplinary work with musicologists and art historians and architects. So my name is Brian Cutts. I'm an acoustician. I work at the Sorbonne University as a CNRS director of research. Before that, I worked in acoustic consulting at a couple companies in New York. I'm originally American, now also a French citizen.
And clerics came from everywhere to study them. The repertoire of Notre Dame set the standard and became the foundation of the École Notre Dame.
And we worked with a media company called Tocartiv out of Barcelona that is very good at kind of translating everything that we said in science into something understandable by lay people. And one of the things that she did that I thought was really great was she had an artist design stained glass windows style images based on each of the stories. You know, so there's one just talking about the Virgin Mary and the origins of the church. There's one about the fire. There's one about the bells. There's one about the restoration work. Yeah, so basically you can click on any of those and hear what that story is. So if you click on the image with the organ, you get to hear about the organ. Or if you click on the one of the choir singing, you get to hear about the history of kind of polyphony. if you're doing it in the GPS version, it's based on where you're standing. So when you're near the bell tower, you have access to the one in the bell tower. So it's a free application called Notre Dame Whispers. You can search for EKKO Notre Dame or Notre Dame Whispers. So one of the examples of the things that we studied in Notre Dame that was kind of very specific was we were looking at the fact that the columns in Notre Dame are kind of the first surfaces that sound would bounce off of between the singer and the listener. So we wanted to see, is there a difference between the kinds of columns? So there you can see a scale model of one of the columns from Notre Dame, and we made about 10 of them of the different types of columns that are in Notre Dame to kind of look at how sound bounces around and off of columns to see, is there a difference between design, or if we look at Greek columns or Roman columns that have a very different form or just a simple cylinder. Also just trying to improve the general understanding of acoustic details. There's definitely a measurable difference, mm-hmm. and what we're interested now is to see if it's audible. That's pushing kind of the technology of the recording industry and the microphone industry, the signal processing, and trying to get a new handle on things that you couldn't have done 5, 10, 20 years ago.
Can we restore the sound of a cathedral? When we think about the restoration of Notre Dame de Paris after the devastating fire of April 2019, we usually think about what we can see. The roof, the spire, the stone walls, the stained glass windows. But there's another part of Notre Dame that cannot be seen. It's sound. For almost 9 centuries, the architecture of Notre Dame shaped a unique acoustic environment. Voices, music, organ sounds, bells and liturgy were transformed by the enormous volume of the cathedral and its reverberation. So after the fire, an important question emerged. Could the acoustic heritage of Notre Dame also be preserved and restored? And how can science help us reconstruct a soundscape that was partly lost? This is where the work of acoustician Brian Katz and the scientific project The Past Has Ears at Notre Dame becomes particularly fascinating. Eleven musical works, ranging from the 12th to the 20th century, are placed within reconstructed environments corresponding to different historical periods.
So the audio guide that we've made lets you do that in kind of a pre-recorded way, so you get to listen to things happening in the cathedral. The radio fiction about Victor Hugo is a virtual reality experience of sound only. And in it, you follow him while he walks through Notre Dame and talks, and his editor like stamps his cane and yells at him, and you can hear all of that. And there's going up into the bells and in stairwells, either out of measurements or out of simulations. The film is a passive virtual reality experience built as a VR game. Except you don't get to control it. But it was all made using the Unreal Game Engine so that as the camera moves, the sound stays with the camera.
The radio fiction, Looking for Notre Dame, uses emotional storytelling centered on Victor Hugo to introduce the science of acoustics to a younger, podcast-oriented audience.
Further back still, on Christmas Eve 1198, when the music of the famous movement known as the Notre Dame School of Polyphony could be heard. the Viderunt Omnis chant.
I think what we did with this Notre Dame project was new. We did a lot of things that no one had ever done before. We pushed things farther, I think, than a lot of people had done before in terms of computer simulations, in terms of, you know, calibrating, in terms of experiments with musicians.
Researchers can compare the acoustic characteristics of the restored cathedral with the measurements collected before the fire. Has the reverberation changed? How has the restoration affected the propagation of sound? Which characteristics of the historic acoustic environment have survived? And can the restored cathedral still preserve something of the acoustic identity that made Notre Dame unique?
So when we did our 2015 measurements and compared them to the ones from the 1980s, we found that the reverberation time had gone down, and we were trying to understand why. And what we found in talking to the organist and some people at the cathedral was, in between those, like maybe in the 90s, there were a lot of complaints about the noise of tourists. And back then, the problem of tourists was shoes, and they're all wearing kind of, you know, hard sole shoes. And so when they would walk around, you would hear. So they actually installed carpeting. And up until the fire, there was a kind of a walking strip of carpet that went around Notre Dame. And we could look at that and change our model to be with and without carpeting. And that mostly explained what the difference was. And we even talked to the organist, who said he remembered when they put the carpeting in. And the reverberation time went down. So now, in the restoration, those kind of shoes aren't worn anymore, right? Everybody is wearing soft tennis shoes and comfortable shoes. Now the problem is people talking. But that meant that in the restoration, they didn't put the carpet in. So already, you can expect it to be not in the 2015 acoustics, but more in the 1980s acoustics. And then you can also look at all of the, everything else in the restoration was cleaning. And because of the lead contamination, they had to remove all of the lead dust out of the walls and be sure that there was nothing left. So they were actually spraying the walls with kind of a mixture of latex, so it would get into the walls and then they could peel it off. And what it meant was that now the building was as almost like clean and fresh and brand new, with no dust. And dust is something that absorbs high frequency sounds. So you can expect the reverberation time to be longer than even it was in the 1980s, and maybe more as it was centuries ago.
What did Notre Dame sound like centuries ago? And how did its architecture, music, and acoustics change over time? These are some of the questions explored by the Past Has Ears at Notre Dame, an interdisciplinary research project coordinated scientifically by acoustician Brian F.G. Katz at Sorbonne Université and CNRS. The aim is not simply to calculate the reverberation of Notre Dame. The aim is to recreate the experience of hearing Notre Dame. And that distinction becomes particularly important when we try to reconstruct a historic acoustic environment after a catastrophe. So when researchers work on the restoration of Notre Dame, they are not simply asking, how can we rebuild the building? They are also asking, how can we preserve the way the building was experienced? This is one of the central ideas in Brian Katz's research. It is not enough to know the physical properties of a room. We also have to understand how human beings perceive sound within that room. Where is the listener? Where is the sound coming from? How does it reach the two ears? How does the architecture modify it? This is why Katz's research includes spatial and three-dimensional audio, binaural reproduction, acoustic modeling, auralization, and virtual reality.
For one thing, sound is dynamic. Mm. A picture is static. A building is static. So it's very easy to talk about it, to represent it, to copy it, and to share it. It's only relatively recently that it's very easy to share sound. It's not the primary focus of what you're listening to. It's basically saying if whoever was singing, the room acoustics will respond the same. And that's the heritage bit. And so that's very hard to, I think, explain to people. And the other is just technical. It's been hard to capture things and reproduce things with high quality, especially spatially. I think what makes sound important as a human is that you're in it and you're surrounded by it. And if you look at most traditional ways of recording audio, whether it's kind of mono or stereo or 5.1, those are very reduced ways of capturing the spatial aspects of it. And if you listen to a stereo recording, it's not like being there. And so it's only kind of recently where we're getting very good at capturing the three-dimensional aspect of sound and being able to reproduce it in a good way.
We experience a cathedral through sight, hearing, movement, and atmosphere. The light coming through the stained glass windows, the people standing beside us, and the way a voice or a piece of music travels through the building. In fact, the acoustic history of Notre Dame had already been documented over several decades. In 1987, acoustic measurements were carried out inside the cathedral in connection with a study for a new choir organ. The recordings were made on reel-to-reel tapes. Then, in 2013, Brian Katz and his team conducted a much more comprehensive acoustic measurement campaign. And in 2015, these measurements formed the basis for a calibrated acoustic model of Notre Dame. This meant that when the fire occurred 4 years later, scientists did not have to start from zero. They already had an acoustic record of the cathedral. They had data, they had measurements, and they had a model. The sound of Notre Dame had, in a sense, already been documented. The scientific work of Brian Katz demonstrates that at least part of this lost or threatened acoustic heritage can be documented, reconstructed, and studied. The goal is not to pretend that digital models can simply bring the past back. They cannot. But they can open a window, or perhaps, in this case, an ear, into another time.
Follow the simple and recognizable theme of the chimes. From its timid initial appearance to the climax of grand magnificence, it will guide you like a beacon throughout this carillon de Westminster.
So at the moment, I think that's the biggest challenge at the moment, is where do we put all this data that we have so that it becomes public and not just sitting on my hard drive back there and that no one can use, and it uses a file format or a kind of an organization that I like because I'm the one who made it, but that doesn't mean it makes sense to anybody. I think that's kind of the biggest challenge now, whereas before it was technical and kind of equipment resources. how to save it? I mean, for example, so our Notre Dame project, it's a 4-year project. We get funding, we had funding from the European Union for part of it, and we had funding from the French research agency for part of it. But at the end of that project, there is no more, you can't spend money on it anymore. There's no way to maintain like data storage. And museums are used to dealing with written and visual imagery. So at the moment, it's trying to figure out how to preserve it for future generations.